Chapter 2. The best time for a controlled release of bad news to the public is Friday afternoon. Taxes are going up, the economy is going down, more troops are being deployed to some third world hotspot. The announcements are made on Friday afternoon. People are busy ending their work week, getting ready for a few days of freedom, getting out of wherever early for a weekend at a lake. There's a good chance a lot of attention will be anywhere but on the news. Detective Stan Dempsey knew how the world of politics worked. He'd been on the shit end of it much of his life, in the army, on the police force. He had a great loathing for the people who held those positions of power, people who were able to wave a hand, shrug a shoulder, raise an eyebrow, and alter the lives of those beneath them without a care or afterthought. People like Judge Carrie Moore. It was difficult for him to think of her as being in a position of authority, holding sway over cases he had built. She seemed too young, looked too pretty. His soul was as old as dirt. He had been wearing a police uniform when she was a child. He had dealt with Carrie Moore when she had been working her way up through the county attorney's office. A good prosecutor, tough, demanding, despite the big blue eyes and turned up nose, she had never been anyone's patsy or pawn. Dempsey didn't know what had happened to her since she'd become a judge. Cops had believed they would have someone on the bench who wouldn't take any crap from defense attorneys, wouldn't have any time for the dirtbags on trial before her. They had practically expected automatic convictions, do not pass go, go directly to jail. That wasn't what had happened at all. She had become a different person on the bench, entertaining ridiculous defense motions, allowing the work of the police force she had once relied on to be questioned and ridiculed. As far as sentences went, if she had a book, she sure as hell wasn't throwing it at anybody. And so, Stan Dempsey shouldn't have been surprised that Friday afternoon when the news broke. Court wasn't even in session. The meeting had gone down in Judge Moore's chambers. With nothing better to do, he had left the desk job where he'd been stuck for all these months and walked across the street to the Hennepin County Government Center. The department brass had worried he wasn't stable enough to be on the streets after the Haas murder investigation. They had worried he was a liability risk, that he might go off at any time on anyone, the way he'd gone off on Carl Dahl in the interview room the night Dahl had been arrested. In his own heart, Dempsey didn't know that he wouldn't. He was a different person now. In the 28 years of his career, he had been an exemplary cop, in a uniform and in a suit. Never a complaint filed against him. The Haas murders had changed who he was. He'd gone into that house that summer evening in the eerie calm between thunderstorms, and hours later, he had come back out, a different man. The department had sent him to a shrink, but beyond his official report and his statements to Logan in the prosecutor's office, he had never talked about what he had seen. He had never spoken to anyone about what he felt. Twice a week, he had gone to the shrink's office, stretched out on the couch, and stared at the wall for 45 minutes, saying nothing. The truth was, he was too damn scared to say anything. If anyone had known the kind of thoughts that filled his head, he would have gotten shipped off to a secure mental facility. Images of the crime scene were lodged in his brain like pieces of jagged glass. At any given moment, a blinding spotlight could hit any one of the images, transporting him back there. He could smell the mildew of the basement and the unmistakable stench of violent death, the sour, acrid smell of terror.